Shalom, everyone. This is Shlomo Katz. You're listening to The Soul of Israel on landofisrael.com and Land of Israel Network. Another beautiful, beautiful, beautiful Tuesday morning, correct? Tuesday morning here in the Judean Hills. And I'm joined together with a soul brother of mine and of all of Am Yisrael, Rabbi Ari Abramowitz. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Rav Shlomo.
How are you feeling?
After being in this chabura with you, I always feel, every time, I feel much better afterwards. And the cumulative effect, I was even going to call you the other day and just say to you, you don't know the effect you're having on my neshama. What? You're like saving you and the chabura.
The chabura, yeah. No, it's a tremendous, and for the viewers, we have people that are watching this right now live, because we're broadcasting this live, this is where it happens. It is a life, what would you call it? Like a life source, like a life, what's that word? Where someone's like your life unit, like a...
Lifeline.
Thank you. Yes. I haven't been watching TV shows in a while.
You know, I hate to reference another one, but have you ever seen that movie Memento? It's this guy that every 5 seconds forgets everything, and he's starting from scratch. And he has all these tattoos all over his body to remind himself who he is and what his situation is.
Oh, I heard of it.
It was from years ago, but I always think about myself a little bit like that. Like, I have this memento self. Like, I can be totally plugged in and see the truth of what I'm doing, and then, like, I wake up the next morning, and I'm confused and disoriented, and I don't have the willpower to do what I want to do. And this thing is so important that it's every day.
Right now,
because that's the human condition to a certain degree.
Yeah, well, consistency is really the name of the game in anything, but specifically when it comes to spiritual matters, it's all the more so.
You have to stay plugged in, and you can't just plug it and walk away.
No.
It'll end.
And it's work. Whether we like to admit it or not, we think of work as something as like this hard, negative thing that brings in money. When it comes to the spirit of the soul, it's real, tachlis work, which is what we're doing here. The question is, how do you enjoy work? What's that tune you have to have in the background in order to enjoy, if you're an accountant or whatever it is, but really, how do you enjoy working on yourself? Well, when you're surrounded by love, like with the chabura that we've been creating here, I think it makes the work not easier, but more
I don't even
worthwhile.
Know if work is a good word, but also a game. It's a little bit of a game in the sense that it's the ultimate in empowerment.
Correct.
Because what we're learning here is not, you can't fail at it because of external influences happening towards you.
Correct.
You can always win no matter what the situation is.
Right.
You can apply it, what we're learning here, to this. So that's empowering, and that makes it fun because
Correct.
It's internal.
Well, I'm happy we're both in the same game.
Yeah.
We didn't grow up in Little League together, but
what we missed yesterday. Yesterday didn't happen, okay. And then we just decided maybe we would talk about that a little bit.
We have, today's going to be a special segment. It's not going to be our normal parshish here, although there's so much to talk about since it's the last two parshiot of Sefer Bamidbar, the fourth book of the Torah.
Are they always combined?
No.
Almost
always. We had an incredible, incredible experience yesterday, one that really deserves to be talked about and discussed and challenged, even. Very complicated morning. We live in a complicated world in a very complicated country with very complicated inhabitants, just the natural Jewish self is a very complicated entity as well, although in the inside it's all pashut, it's all good, it's all sweet. But we've been learning in our chabura.
I was actually just thinking about that when Toby said that someone came up to him in the street and said, Toby.
He said, can I please share with you one teaching?
Yeah, I need to share something with you. And he says, we need to be one Am Yisrael.
We just need to be Am Yisrael.
And when he said that, it's like, I've often gotten to that where I get into the deep complexities of everything and I finally figure it out. And it's like, I'm back at the simplest truth.
Right.
At the deepest truth.
Because in that place, it's simple. Correct. In that place, it's really simple. We've been learning in our shir for the last... in our chabur for the last few days and for the period of the 3 weeks, a whole Torah on a whole book about Ahavat Yisrael. What does it mean? What is the mitzvah of the loving of the Jewish people? We know it's something you're supposed to do. We don't understand it. We treat it as something it's nice if you feel it. But like we said about before, it's toil, it's work, it's deep root work. And specifically, that's what we're trying to focus on during these 3 weeks of mourning, which we all know we're mourning over the destruction of the temples. And we always speak about the root cause of the burning of the second temple, which is really sinat chinam, which means baseless hatred. Well, instead of spending time on how low we were, we decided let's spend time on how privileged we could feel if we delved into the depth of the mitzvah of Ahavat Yisrael. Of what does that even mean? Like we all know that's an important thing. What does a tachlis mean? So in a really weird way, we were challenged with something this week. And obviously, I mean, most of our listeners and viewers, I'm sure you all heard about what took place on the Temple Mount. I think it's the first time that I know of that a murder took place on Har HaBayit, on Temple Mount. Am I wrong? Is this that we know of? Meaning besides the destruction of the Temple, I'm sure there was tons of bloodshed.
In modern
time, I don't know of any other... Yeah. Correct?
I don't know.
Yeah. And what's so crazy about this story is that it was three Israeli Arabs, okay? Israeli Arabs, three cousins that actually have the same name from an Israeli Arab town called Umm al-Fahim that went to Temple Mount early in the morning, a Friday morning, and ended up killing two Druze cops. Jews... This is the weirdest, this is the mamish, the most bizarre part of this story. The whole thing here, the whole tension, right, is about the Jewish, the problem the world has when Jews go up and pray on the Temple Mount. And the story here had nothing to do, literally, at the end of the day, with any Jews or Jewish blood being spilled. And then that was a really big test for us Jewish people.
Well, I mean, just to make it clear, they didn't know that they weren't Jews.
Correct. No, we're speaking about
I'm sure they thought that they were Jews. But yes, you're saying what just actually like, happened.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm sure they thought they were, I'm sure they their thought was to kill, I mean, obviously. But exactly, what ended up happening, I'm talking about after the fact, what you know, how we look back at it, this is what happened. Then the question was, us Jewish people, what does this mean? What is Hashem telling us? What's our response? How do we deal with what just happened right now? Right. So in a really weird, weird way, yesterday was the first time in 50 years, probably even much more. Yesterday was the first time, probably in hundreds of years, that Jews walked around freely and prayed on the Temple Mount because the Jordanian Waqf are boycotting. Now they're rebelling, and they're not going up onto Temple Mount because they have to go through metal detectors, right? It's just the whole thing is, feels like Purim. That's why I posted this morning on my Twitter, 226 days till Purim. Someone sent me that. Actually, I have a Purim countdown every morning. I get how many days till Purim. So this is, let's go back to it. Now I'm going to sound a little bit yeshivish, learning out in a tone right now. So we're in the middle of the 3 weeks. Something insane happens where two of our Druze brothers who gave their lives in a very mysterious way by protecting Jewish people in a certain way or protecting something in a certain way on Temple Mount, their blood is spilled by three Israeli Arabs, Yimach Shemah, may their names be blotted away for eternity. We're in the middle of the 3 weeks where we have to work on baseless hatred and unconditional love. And we're in the middle of learning about all these concepts here in our Chabura. What do we choose to do?
It's so full. Like what you just said about Purim, rarely has V'nafachu been so immediate. That their purpose was to go up and kill Jews and stop Jews from going up on the Temple Mount. And the next day, there are Jews praying more freely on the Temple Mount. Then in how long?
Is it still happening today? I didn't even check the news today. Are they still?
I don't know if it's happening today.
It is bizarre.
As of yesterday.
It happened yesterday, yeah. My wife even said to me last night, she said, Shlomo, maybe now you can go up because I refuse to go up in this current situation. As a Kohen, we've spoken about this. I'd lose my mind going up to the place where I'm supposed to be doing my thing in the world and seeing how I so can't and there's someone that's telling me that I can't that's not even from my nation, doesn't even belong there.
Part of the miracle is that the Israeli police officers weren't enforcing the prayer law, even though the Waqf wasn't there.
Right.
I mean, it's very much in Israel's character to still enforce that law.
So I was wondering if they were really like waiting to see some footage. I didn't see any footage. I'm sure you saw some footage of yesterday, but they didn't. As far as I understand, they allowed free davening by the temple. It's just on earth. It's so bizarre. Everything about this story,
I can't even imagine being able to go up there. I mean, if I can't imagine that, If I, because I've gone up there before, and it's so much a part of my experience that I have to be secretive about davening, and I have to daven right. under my breath, and sometimes I forget, and my mouth moves, and then they're videoing me and screaming at me and pulling me off, and I can't even imagine Kal Vachomer. How much more difficult is it to imagine yeah. building the temple? It's so far from us. It would really just take so far, yet so close.
Yeah, this whole thing is what it's doing is it's. I think this whole thing is forcing us to check into places that we're not usually very aware of in a very deep way. And I think it's forcing Am Yisrael to wake up in a way like we've never woken up before in the 3 weeks. That's what I think. But anyhow, we decided, the group of us that learn here in the mornings, yesterday morning, Monday morning, we're driving almost, it was about 3 hour drive. We're driving up north to these two Druze villages to pay our condolences, to pay a visit to the families that are sitting in mourning over their loved ones. Now, just for those of you that aren't really aware of or understand how these things work, I probably would have never entered into a Druze village before if it wasn't for this. Not that I feel threatened, it's just completely
off the
radar.
Yeah. What do you have to look for in a Druze village?
Nothing. Yeah. Nothing. But then I'm thinking, but if these people are voluntarily giving their lives to protect Am Yisrael. And I learned yesterday that 450 Druze soldiers in combat units have been killed. And
yeah, I served with Druze.
You did. And there are only 100 there. The population is only 140,000. So it's a very big number. Why am I waiting for people to be killed to show that I am thankful? And that pained me yesterday. That pained me.
That's what it was from. Was this your idea to go up there?
I don't remember. We were discussing this. I think it was a few chevra.
Because I had a reaction to it.
Please.
That yeah. I felt when I was having it, that it was a relic from a less evolved part of myself that I have yet to update.
That's a great title for your autobiography. A relic of a less developed part of myself.
That's good. So I already disagree with what I'm going to say, but I still just think it right now. I thought we'd yeah. work it out. I have this, aversion to certain demographics of Jews at times that they will go out of their way. If there's something that happens, they'll go to when a Jew is killed, are they going to go to that family? Did they go to the family of the Jewish policewoman that was killed just a week before? And so I definitely can't say this to you because for you, I feel like the answer is very often, yes, as a matter of fact, I was there. So why for the Druze? And now that I'm even hearing myself say it, I understand that there's a different type of reason to go. You can't go to every, unfortunately.
Right.
It's very, it would be a full-time job.
Unfortunately, exactly. It'd be a full-time job.
To go to every victim of,
correct.
You know, but with the Druze, it's an important national hand forward of gratitude
correct.
And recognition.
Correct.
But, you know, also I can't help but remembering, I recognize that guy, you know, that was killed.
Right. That's what you were telling me before. I couldn't believe him.
Yeah. So, and he is part of the ones that I remember enforcing the Waqf rules. And so it's hard for me not to resent him for enforcing the Waqf rules, and this is also a job that he's getting paid for, and I wasn't doing a lot of benefit of the doubt giving, and so I felt very conflicted about him, like, oh, we do this for the Druze, but what do we do for the Jews, and going out of our way only for them but nothing for us and stuff like that. And then I saw this video that Toby recorded there, and I was like, okay, I just have to wave the white flag as far as just feeling good that happened. And by the way, I myself would have gone. I just couldn't go in that morning.
Right.
I had something. But even with those
right.
feelings and contentions I had, I would have been there, no question. But so what are...
I want you to know that I thought about that exact question when I was sitting in the first house that I was sitting in, and I looked at the picture of the deceased on the wall. And I said to myself, if I would have seen this guy a week ago on Har HaBayit, if I would have gone on up to Har HaBayit, and he would have been enforcing the Waqf rulings up there, what would I feel towards that person? Now, the truth is, Druze or not Druze, there are plenty of Jewish
Yeah.
Policemen that are enforcing the walks.
That's right.
It's nothing.
I feel a very different type of resentment towards them.
I have more resentment towards a Jew. Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's one thing for a Jew to do it to a Jew, but for a Druze to enforce to a Jew that we can pray on our Harabait.
But again, they're, I hate to sound like this, they're part of the system. It's nothing
yes,
to do with...
I know. I know that intellectually.
Well, but you need to know that also more than intellectually.
Right.
And that's what... That's what really made me realize that when I watched these videos of Jews getting arrested on Har HaBayit, I always said these guys are part of the Israeli police force. These guys that are enforcing the Waqf.
And when you go through that whole process of becoming a policeman, they drill into your head.
Yeah.
You are a extension of the police.
Oh yeah.
Entity, and it's not your place to ask why your job is to do and die.
But at the end of the day. While he would be enforcing the Waqf rules on me, if someone came and attacked me, he's protecting me.
That's right.
Which makes this whole thing even more warped and more weird.
Yeah.
It's like amazing that you're bringing this up now. I went through this in my head while I was sitting in his father's house. I was looked at his picture and I said, what would I have felt if I would have looked at him last week?
But I have to say something. I do remember him having a nicer, more understanding disposition.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like the energy that came from him
was sometimes it could be vicious.
Yeah, sometimes they do their job and more. With him, I don't. I mean, because I've been up there a number of times. He was almost every time with my group.
Well, he's been there for quite a while. Right. I want to share with you something that happened as we left that person's house. Two Druze cops, officers, came running out to us. First of all, you should just know they treated us like royalty. First of all, they were really touched that these religious Orthodox Jews and their rabbi came from 3 hours away.
Were there other people there?
There was one previous minister from the Knesset, because this guy's father used to be a Chaver Knesset. You know what I'm speaking about, you know. The person that you're talking about, his father used to be a member of Knesset. Yeah. So in two Knessets ago. So he had some friends from the Knesset. A lot of Knesset members were there. A previous minister, he was the minister of police, Yitzhak Aronovich. He used to be in Yisrael Beiteinu, I believe. He was actually sitting with him when we got there.
Really?
Yeah. But they treated us. They came out to greet us, set us up in special parking. We walked inside
the room. Oh, they were expecting you?
No.
Oh.
But we walked inside the room. They all stood up. And one by one, they say, it's the weirdest thing. They say to us, "Shelo tedu tzar." You shouldn't know of any pain, which is something that you usually tell the one that's sitting in the morning. We get into the room. We're walking one by one. I realized who the father is because I saw a video of him a few days prior where he was talking about Hashem decided it's this kid's time to come back up to Shemaim. And I want to give thanks to Hashem for having the privilege of being this kid's father. And having parenting this child for as many years as he was privileged to touched me very deep. And I know that it took this in order for someone like that to touch me. And that pained me on a human level. But it didn't drive me nuts because I realized the complex world that I live in and the complex place in a geographical manner, you know, where we live is just... It just doesn't always make sense. And to always go back to that place of remembering we're all, you know, it's very hard. Two Druze cops run after me. Big guys. They said, Kvod Arav, Kvod Arav, Rabbi, Rabbi. Please.
Honorable Rabbi,
please. We need to tell you something. And they really ran after us. I was like, guys, did you guys bring something up? Like, I was like, why are these cops running after us? Like, if you didn't realize the scenario, you just like looked at it like there's a few Druze cops that are running after these settlers, you know? He said, Honorable Rabbi, we have one request. He said, I want to tell you something. I am willing to give my body for this country right now. Right now. I've been a cop for 18 years, I think he said. I'm willing to give my body and soul for this country right now.
Just the stories make me want to eat my hat. You know, it's like so holy. So how did you respond?
He said, well, I waited to see what he said. He said, there are still, it's getting better, but there's still many layers in the Israeli society that really have no idea who we are, and they don't know what to do with us because we're not Muslims, we're not Jews. Some of us are in Syria, some of us are in Lebanon, but we're here. We're here. Please let them know that we're willing to give our bodies for this country.
They see themselves as descendants of Yitro.
Yitro. Yitro is their prophet. Not Muhammad and not Moshe Rabbeinu, but Yitro.
Jethro.
Right? Jethro.
Yeah.
So I said to him, I wanted to say to him, holy brother, but you don't say that to a cop. I said, Ani mevakesh mimcha
shetelo. Why don't you say that to a cop?
Huh? Well, you could, but I don't know. It'd be kind of weird to be like, what? Anyway, I should have maybe. I said to him, Ani mevakesh mimcha shetevarech oti shani ezkeh legasher et hapar. Please bless me that I'm privileged to bridge the gap. And I thought about that in the car. What does that mean to bridge that gap? Listen, we're living in a world, in a country, where a lot of people, mamish, want us dead. Simple. Not out of here. They want us dead. If there are a few people in this country that are willing to protect me, right?
To give their life.
They're willing to give their life to protect me, and they've gotten killed. In fact, the first cop on the scene at the Har Nof massacre was a Druze officer who had just become a father. I met his family too a few years back. This kid that we went to his house just got engaged. The other Druze officer became a father 22 days ago for the first time. I don't really understand the whole Druze thing. I don't really understand the whole thing. But now I have to realize these people are willing to give their bodies and souls, willing to be killed. And that says something. And you can't.
That's casting your lot with Israel. You know, you cast your lot with Israel, you become an extension of us.
That's what the father was saying. We've casted, he said, our lots are bound together. We're voluntarily choosing that, you know.
But so if with them, it doesn't seem, at least when I heard him speaking on that video, which I watched a couple of times, it was so powerful. It didn't seem like it was coming from a pragmatic place.
No.
Or like we're in the same place, we have the same enemies, so let's be together. There was a real faith, belief, love. It makes me want to investigate further what it's about. What is that?
I'm not here to now create, creating Druze and Jewish. There are people that can do this. It's not what I'm busy doing, but we have to acknowledge the fact that when people are willing to die, to get killed, they're casting their lot. We have to figure out what that means. Now, that doesn't mean we're bad Jews because we don't realize these things. It's, no, we're Jews that are very busy protecting ourselves, and that's fine. And that's good. But when a thing like this happens on Har HaBayit in the middle of the 3 weeks, we gotta go there and realize and meet that place.
Well, in Zechariah, it makes me think of that pasuk where it says, "Vinilvu goyim rabim el Hashem b'yomahu," and there will be, you know, the nations that will attach themselves to the house of Israel.
Right. It means they're doing that now. They're not doing it one day when things really work out for the Jews. They're doing it now. Now, what their reasons and their motive? I don't understand the whole thing. I don't. But I just know what happened in front of me, and I felt that it was very important to show that. We realize that he would have taken a bullet for me. And to be just to acknowledge that. And I came out feeling very Jewish, very empowered. I also felt like maybe it sent a very confusing message to a few people. I know a lot of my friends from like the more left-wing parties were like, oh, wow, look what you finally, look what you've come around to. It's like, no, you don't.
You're not getting this. Yeah.
You're not getting it. It's so deep. It's so much deeper than that. There's nothing to do with that. Anyone that wants me dead, I want them out of here. Simple.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyone that's willing to protect my right to live here, I want to get to know them a bit better. Push it. It's very simple. Very simple. In a very complex, again, in a very complex world and in a very complex scenario.
And also, you know, in my mind, very often when I think of something I should do, I picture there's a bunch of people like me that are actually doing it, and I would get there and just be another guy there. And with a lot of people, and I'm hearing from you that there weren't crowds and throngs of people going there.
No, it's very interesting. We walked into a room, there are a lot of people speaking Arabic, and we came in. And it was very clear, like, this is out of the ordinary. I'm sure there were others. other groups of people, you know, there. I saw one other kipa there, I think, when I was there, someone that seemed to have known the families, but no, it wasn't like that. That's okay, too. I don't expect suddenly yeshiva busloads to go, although I did see that our dear chevra, Mark and Chantal Belsberg, are sending up some buses on, I think, tomorrow morning to there, because these families are victims of terror. Simple. Yeah. Anyway, it's just another piece in this very weird puzzle of trying to figuring out how to be a good Jew in today, in 2017. And I hope and pray that this just really, it turns on a certain light of awareness in myself. It starts from me. Just being a bit more aware of how complex the situation is here, and to pray stronger than ever that righteousness and justice prevails, because it's just enough. The other side, the dark side, enough.
And also enough. To let the na'afohu happen more and more instantly, in an obvious and instant way. Right. Bilam comes to make it to curse, and what comes out of his mouth instantly, a bracha.
They came to end Jewish identity on Har HaBayit. It's the first time ever that Jews walk freely on Har HaBayit praying to Hashem. Do you want to go for more challenging on the issue? Because it is interesting to me. It's complex. It's very complex. But it wasn't anything else but realizing these people are willing to to protect me. They take a bullet for me. I need to figure out what that's about.
Yeah, and I think that the resolution to my challenge of why that beautiful 20-year-old girl, the police officer that was murdered, we're not all rushing to her shiva, but we are going to this. And I think it's because this is more of a klal. This is a national interaction. This is representing more than just him.
Correct.
This is our two nations coming together.
Correct. But I will tell you, it's good you brought it up. Unfortunately, we've had the unfortunate schut, privilege, to go to a bunch of shivas this year and last year. You and I went to one of the most painful shivas we've ever been to. We've been there. I probably would not have gone yesterday morning if I just, you know, if I didn't go to any of the other shivas that's happening, any other, I would not have.
That's true.
I would not have. With all the right reasons. You got to be real.
The answer is not to say I'm not going to go to that because I don't go to those.
Exactly.
The answer is to go to those, to go to all, you know, as many as you feel like is a rational thing to do. Yeah.
Deep stuff.
Yeah.
Well, deep stuff. This is the soul of Israel. This is our show. This is the soul of Israel. So we're blessing.
Where can people see that video of interaction you had with him?
Yeah. I go to my Facebook page.
It's on your Facebook page.
It's on my Facebook page, Shlomo Katz, the Facebook page. You could follow it there.
Because I only saw it because of WhatsApp. I've been trying to scale back.
Yeah, yeah. We'll go to the Facebook page.
I'll tell you what. You'll send me a link. If anyone wants, they could send ari@thelandofisrael.com. I'll send you out a link. Sure.
A few news agencies actually contacted me and want to now run this story because it's very
unique.
It's very unique. And I pray that it only does good for Am Yisrael and for the whole world.
Amen. Amen. Yashar koach to you.
Yashar koach, guys.
Shalom, shalom.
Who are we as a people? Who are we as a nation? What does it mean to be a Jew in the land of Israel, as a Jew in Judea? What is our message to the world? We're finally back in our land, and we get to ask these questions.
Be'ezrat Hashem, we're going to make Judea and Samaria an issue for the entire world to know that the Jews have a place in the world.
Israel Inspired with Ari Abramowitz and Jeremy Gimpel on the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com.